So I want to talk to you about weighty words, about powerful words. Can you think of some powerful words, words that stick, words that matter, words that you just can't get out of your head? Let me show you some weighty words. See if you can tell me who said them. Ready? I have a dream. Martin Luther King, 1963. Not to be confused with Martin Luther. Little hint, Martin Luther's words will come soon. Who said this? Remember? How dare you? I looked up the speech. She said it four times in a row. Really? Yeah, Greta Thunberg, 2019. Who said this? I like these ones. Here I stand, I can do no other, so God help me, amen. Martin Luther, 1519. This one's topical at the moment. Who said this? I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. Yeah, when did she say it? It actually wasn't when at her coronation. It was just before, a couple of years before her coronation, she said that. The last three quotes are all British, and I'm sorry for that. It's just how it happened. They must be good at speeches. Who said, we shall fight on the beaches? My son loves that one. You love Winston Churchill because he's in Doctor Who, right? Yeah, that's why you like him. We're looking at really powerful words, and I found these, which I like. I come amongst you, not for my recreation, but being resolved in the midst and heat of the battle, to live and die amongst you all, to lay down for my God and for my kingdom and for my people, my honour and my blood, even in dust. I may have the body of a weak and feeble woman, but I have the heart and stomach of a king, said a long time ago. I'll give you a hint, it was a redhead. It wasn't Pauline Hanson. Yeah, it's a queen, yeah? Yes. I think it was Judy that said that. Queen Elizabeth I in 1588, just before the Spanish Armada were about to lose again. Yeah, did you know that one? Now, come on, you know your history. My son is a history buff. Queen Elizabeth was the daughter of King Henry the... Yes, now you know, King Henry VIII. Right, so let's look at better words, more powerful words, because Ruth chapter 1, we have some women who love each other dearly, who have all lost their husbands. They've all seen incredible loss and grief, and weighty words are spoken. Chapter 1 of Ruth is weighty, powerful words, deep emotional words. Have a look, there's three sets of words spoken here in three colours on the screen. Blue, red, purple. What are the most weighty words? Beware, this is a trick question. What are the most weighty words spoken in Ruth chapter 1 as these grieving women discuss their future? Tough stuff. You see, if you're like me, most of us gravitate to the final words in purple at the end, where a young woman, Ruth, says, don't urge me to leave. I'm loyal. I will stick with you to the end. I'll go where you go. I'll stay where you stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Even where you die, I'll be buried. We're drawn to that and we think, wow, powerful words. And they are. They're very powerful and they're very emotional. But you know, these words are not actually a model for us. The words of Ruth are spoken by someone who doesn't yet know the love of God and have a faith in the God of love. Look how she finishes. She finishes with a curse. She literally says, if I don't keep my promise, may God kill me and do worse. In theology, this is what we call a contingent curse. You know what a contingent curse is? It's where you say, if I do this, that's a contingent curse. And she has just invoked the name of God and said, I'm making a vow in God's name. Any alarm bells ringing for you? They should be. She's made a vow or an oath in God's name and asked God to kill her if she doesn't keep it. These are actually the words of someone who is yet immature and doesn't have a full understanding of God. They're beautiful words, but let me be clear, please never speak this way. Don't curse someone else in the name of God. If you don't do this, may this happen. And don't do that to yourself. Jesus very specifically in his preaching says, this is a very unhealthy and wrong way to use the name of God. So I'm not going to rain on Ruth's parade. Here we go again. It's that time of morning. I'm not going to rain on Ruth's parade too much, but just beware of making her passionate promise of death a model for your faith. Because I'm not sure these are the most powerful words in this story. Can you see some words that might be more powerful here? Oh, someone said the word grace. Praise the Lord. We saw the word grace. Up the top, we have the words of the old woman, Naomi. And the first thing she does is speak what I think are the most powerful and weighty words in the entire book of Ruth. You know why I think these words are powerful? For a start, there's no cursing in them, which is probably a good start. She starts with the name of God. When you are reading the Bible in the Old Testament, when you see Lord and they print it in all caps, have you ever wondered why they do that? That's because no one wanted to say the name of God, Yahweh, I am, it's translated. It was banned to say that. And so they print Lord in caps like that. Whenever someone said the holy, precious name of God, I am Yahweh. So she starts, Naomi starts, in a very interesting way. How often do you start sentences in the name of the great I am, the creator of the universe, or Jesus? And she says the word grace, which is interesting. But the most interesting thing about Naomi's words is that they come true. Have you noticed that? She says, may God show grace to you as you've been gracious to the dead. Who's the dead? Their husbands and their father-in-law. May God show grace to you. May God grant that you find rest. And may God give you new love, new husbands. And this comes true. This is actually an outline of what's going to happen in the book. This is a prophecy. It comes true. So these are pretty powerful words. And you know what these words are? Ruth's words before, they're swear. These words are a form of prayer. See, the words in purple are a form of swear. There can be, I don't know if there can be good swearing or not, but they're swear. But these words are prayer, and they're a very special kind of prayer. So these words here are the words we're going to look at today. May the Lord show grace to you. And these words are the first of six prayers in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth has four pages and six prayers. And every one of the prayers in the book of Ruth is a special kind of prayer. Every one of these prayers are a kind of prayer that modern Christians don't pretty much ever do. It's something that's become extinct and we need to relearn. Have you noticed what kind of prayer this is? It's a very strange one because look, she says, may the Lord show grace to you. So she starts off with God's name in some way, but it looks like it might be a prayer. But who's she talking to? She's not actually talking to God. She's talking to the person in front of her, to her friends. She's saying words to them. Do you know what we call this kind of prayer? It's a blessing. This is the first of six prayers, and this is a blessing. In fact, if you read the book of Ruth, and you can do it in 20 minutes, there are 6 points in the story where people just stop and all of a sudden start talking in a kind of prayerful, strange way, and each of these prayer points is a blessing. They keep walking around, literally, the book of Ruth is a book of blessings. They just walk around blessing each other, saying things to each other that are powerful and weighty. So just take a look at this, see how it works. It's weighty words. Often blessings start with an old-fashioned word like may. How often do we say that in modern English? Not really often. And you might think, oh, that's just weird. That's just kind of like old language. It's a bit Shakespeare. This is one of the only ways that we can actually convey in English what's going on, because in a blessing, and this is something that you can do too. Think on this. You can give blessings. In a blessing, we speak God's grace directly into someone's ears and life. So often I think, you know, someone's sick and we all kind of pray quietly on our own, and that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Our prayers are a little bit more like wishes sometimes. That's not so good. But we are missing one of the most important forms of prayer that the Bible teaches us to do. And that form of prayer is called blessing. And this thing must be pretty powerful, because Naomi says to these girls, may God be gracious to you, may you find rest and peace in your life, and may you find new husbands. And it comes true. It happens. Was that Naomi's power? Was it like a magic spell? Not at all. But when we give someone a blessing, we speak God's grace and the name of Jesus directly into their ears. And we can also apply it specifically to their lives. Have you ever had someone give you a blessing? I used to serve at a thing called the Stable on the Strand in Townsville, 70 local churches getting together to present the message of Christmas. And my job was blessing. And I just stood there, night after night, for hour upon hour, blessing people who wanted a blessing. And it was fun and tiring, but fun. Blessing is something that we can all do. And especially, let me say this to godparents and grandparents and parents and cousins and aunties and uncles, this is a gift you can give people to bless them. This is something that I have done for my children most of their lives, and I still do it quite often, even though they're adults. And I think they like it. They keep coming and asking me to still do it. I give them a blessing. Why not? You can too, parents. It's a good way to go. So let me give you some examples of how this works, because the book of Ruth is seeming to demonstrate a way of living that we don't follow as modern Christians. They walk around and they literally say, I bless you in the name of God. Like that. I bless you. God loves you. Let me give you some examples. Roy Godwin was a failed pastor. He had really come to the end of his rope. And he was an Anglican pastor in England, and he needed a break. So somehow he, through a series of miraculous coincidences, he found himself a caretaker at a prayer centre, at a retreat centre in Wales called Fold y Brennan. It's a Welsh name. So Pastor Ray, he's at the end of his rope, and he ends up caretaking this little prayer centre out in the country. And guess what? No one ever comes there. It's dead. It's empty. No one comes. And it's broke. And they're going to have to close it. And he doesn't know how to fix it. So Pastor Ray says to his wife, I'm going to quit. I'm done. And you know what she said back to him? She said, shut up and pray about it. And so he stomps upstairs and he prays. And he says, God, this isn't working. I'm going to quit. I want to see people. I want to see lives change. And I want to share your love with people. I want to do something that matters. And then there's a knock on the door. So he goes to the door, and there are two people there who've just been wandering around the countryside. And they say, excuse me, what is this place? Is it okay if we come here? And he looks at them and he says, sure. And he shows them around. It's a lovely place in the English countryside. What could be better? And at the end, they're about to leave, and something happens, and he says, may I bless you? And they say, oh, sure. And so he just says, I bless you in the name of Jesus. That's all you got to say. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Good start. We could speak of God's love, but he says, I bless you in the name of Jesus to know God and his purpose for your life. God's blessings on you and your family and your life. Amen. That's all he says. And they start to cry. And he's like, oh, what have I done? So he gets them to go into the prayer chapel and he just leaves them sit there as they weep. And he reports in his book, which is called The Grace Outpouring, that this was the beginning of a huge change for these people because they just actually heard someone say direct into their ears, I bless you with the love of God. You are loved. And now Fold y Brennan is a really famous prayer retreat, and it's a place that people come. Not because Pastor Roy has clever sermons or anything really good to say, just because all they do is they give people a blessing. They just speak God's love into their ears and it ends up in their lives. So I want to encourage you and ask you, what if our call is to just bless those around us, to get a bit bold with our prayer and actually include other people in it? Is there somebody that you could actually just bless? Because I think that the book of Ruth is telling us that blessing is a powerful and beautiful way to share the love of God with the world around us and with the community. And by the way, this is good Lutheran theology too. I'm not just suddenly going Pentecostal. This is the message of the Lutheran Church and Scripture too. If Naomi, an old widow who's lost everything and is quite bitter, if she can give a blessing, then perhaps I can too. Pastor Roy Godwin writes, and by the way, they're having this sermon in Witta today. Jackie up there is giving her own version of my sermon. And they're going to love this bit, right? Because he says, because we're in an agricultural community, we bless the flocks and herds and we bless the grass. We bless supportive networks of friendship that run through the community because they're a sign of God's kingdom. We bless the students of our rural school and ask God to aid their learning. We bless the teachers and pray that the school may be a safe and wholesome place. Now, you might not be clever with words. Completely fine. On the sermon handout today, I'm giving you some examples of blessings. But it might be just your grandchildren. It might be someone that you know that maybe you've got a little bit of a spiritual relationship with. And it might be that this is the form of prayer that's actually needed for them to hear the love of God, to hear it into their ears, rather than just think about it. Last Sunday, at about 8 a.m, I was in church getting ready when a young woman walked in, looking very uncertain, and she said, can I come in? Of course you can come in. We get this all the time at St. Luke's, don't we? And she said, I think I want to pray. And I was like, great. Would you like to do that on your own or would you like help? And she says, oh, I really don't know how to pray. So I think I need help. So she sat down, just here. And I said, what would you like to pray about? And out poured a story. A beautiful, sad story like the story of Naomi and Ruth. And then I prayed for her and with her. And then I said, can I give you a blessing? And you know what I find? I find people who would often be quite negative about a lot of things, there's a lot of people out there that are interested in a blessing. So I just blessed her. I said, I bless you in the name of Jesus. God loves you. God knows you. God will never turn away from you. And I bless you for peace. Amen. And this is the thing. She heard it in her ears and she received it in her heart and she said yes to it. And she took it away with her and it's hers now. And you can do it too. So this is what I want to say to you as we finish. And welcome to my friend Damien. It's awesome to have you here. This is what I want to say to you. So look at me, not Damien. Listen. You have the authority to do this. Don't shrink away from that authority. Don't say, oh, no, only pastors. Rubbish. Martin Luther would tremble in his grave at the idea that only a pastor should do this. He would probably end up saying some rude German words. You, because of the love of God and your baptism, have been given the authority to say into people's ears, I bless you with the grace of God. God loves you. And you can do it in your own words. You can do it in your own way. You don't have to use words out of the Bible. There's a bunch of examples on our sermon handout. You could write a blessing on a card and keep it in your wallet. You could write a blessing and stick it on your fridge. You could keep it short or long. All it needs to be is, I bless you in the name of Jesus. But I'm going to ask you to consider trying it today. Give it a go. We'll practice now so that we might do it for somebody sometime soon. So I would like to ask you if you would make sure that everybody gets to hear this blessing. You know this one. Would you say it out loud with me? It's the best blessing in the Bible, isn't it? Ready? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favour and give you peace. Now that's another sermon, but what I'd like to do as we finish the sermon is just ask you to bless somebody nearby. If you don't want to do that or you're not comfortable, totally respect, you don't have to. You should not be forced to do something that you're not safe with ever. That's not helpful. But for some of you, maybe you could just step over that line, and it is okay for you. It's safe. It's a risk, but a safe one maybe for some of you who've never done this before too. So let me be clear, no judgment from anyone here or from me if you don't want to do this. Just don't. That's cool. But I would like to see if we can make sure pretty much everyone gets a blessing from someone directly today, that they hear it in their ears. And listen, you could say it as simple as, I bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Done. Or you could use the one on the screen or one of the ones on the sermon handout. So again, if you don't want to be blessed and someone says, can I bless you? It's totally cool to say, nah, that's fine. We respect that too. But can we now, like Naomi 3,100 years ago, can we actually just say to somebody into their ears and to their face, you are loved. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Something like that. You ready? You okay with this?